The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
My friends are degenerates, but I never change them. Liars, cheats, and hypocrites, not the type for saving.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. There's Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real, at Aaron is Blitz, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show. You know the number for that. You can also watch us on Twitch and comment there. Where Hockley Dan said, I got arrested at the Woodlands Pavilion. Refused to go back.
Nice.
You know, that's a badge of honor, man. If I got arrested somewhere, I'd like to, you know, I'd want to return triumphantly.
But, can't hold me down.
Yeah. It's just a personal preference thing. I'm not a big outdoor guy for music, and it's too damn far to travel. So that's all right. It's more tickets for you guys. Plus, I got so many really kick-ass venues right near me that I'd rather go to.
Yeah.
That it's just, you know. All right. So we did Rockets to start the show. So if you missed that, sorry. We did a betting breakdown of the XFL. We're not betting it, but we did a betting breakdown for people who might want
to
bet on it.
Bet.
Yeah. And then we just kind of got into music festivals and how the whole world has great ones, and we don't.
But we could.
We could.
River City Rock Fest was in San Antonio a couple years ago. They guess they canceled last year's for some reason. But the last time they had it, Nine Inch Nails was the headliner. And, I mean, overall, pretty solid top-to-bottom lineup. So, I mean, that's not too far away. Could probably, you know, it could be closer, but... It was Nine Inch Nails, Primus, Stone Temple Pilots, Bush, Chevelle, Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, Hell Yeah, Suicidal Tendencies, and Clutch.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Drowning Pool, The Sword, Yellow Wolf. I mean, I would have gone to that. And it's in September. That's kind of nice.
Well, here's...
It's not super hot outside.
Here's one that I always miss it because we're never in Saskatchewan this late in the year. August 14th through the 16th, the Rock the River. It's classic rock. Harlequin, Aldo Nova, and Dynasty Young from Styx the first day. The Spoons, the Cooper Brothers, Prism, and the Orchestra. And then Doug and the Slugs, Nazareth, the Fabulous Thunderbirds, and April Wine. I would only go Sunday. That's a pretty good lineup there.
April Wine, that's your people.
Yeah. It's so funny. I never knew they were Canadian, but when I was growing up, they were one of my favorite bands. They came to Houston all the time, usually with Rush. So I saw them a bunch, and then later on I found out, they're a bunch of Canadian hosers, eh? Another band that doesn't need to make new music, just if you're thinking about it. 713-780-ESPN. Ashton says, Houston venues cost way too much, and I'm sure the random cities are paying the festivals because of how much money they generate. Yeah, I also think that, frankly, isn't Austin kind of a better place to have a music festival
than here?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, and that's close enough. But I might ask anyone of you ever caught a show at the Red Rock Amphitheater north of Denver? I have not been there. I would like to, but never have been. JDS, were you at the Woodlands when the Kiss Aerosmith concert rained out about five songs? No, I wasn't there for that one. The last thing I saw there, and I want to say it was Shinedown and Godsmack. And I think it's when we had Sully in studio after that, Sully Erna.
Okay.
So that would have been, 7 years ago?
Maybe. Yeah, something like about that. We were still in that old studio down there.
Yeah. Well, we were here. We were no longer at Cumulus.
Right.
And I think we just came here. So that's probably the last one I went to. But, and there have been a lot of bands I'd like. I don't know, though. It's kind of like, as I was saying earlier, I've seen everybody I want to see for the most part.
Yeah.
And going back and seeing some of these bands that aren't in their prime anymore, it almost ruins it. Like, I hear Queen with Adam Lambert's pretty good.
I've heard that, too.
But I've seen Queen with Freddie Mercury, and it's like,
it's hard to beat that.
Yeah. I don't know. So, somebody mentioned, do you remember the Texas Jam and the Astrodome? Oh, yes, I remember that very well. That was the first time I almost got busted for smoking weed in public, was at a Texas Jam. And it was just people were passing it down the aisle, right? And I happened to be on the end of the aisle, and they pass it to me, and the next thing I know, there's a cop standing next to me.
Nice.
Are you going to hand that over? Yes, sir. And I mean, of course, I'm the one that gets caught, and I was detained briefly, but
you didn't have to go downtown, huh?
No, they just.
You've never been arrested?
No, I was just kind of
poser.
I'm not posing. I got away with a lot. You know, I should have been arrested a bunch of times back when driving while drinking. There's probably 100 times I should have been pulled over, and you know, but yeah, that. It was just funny because I happened to be the one on the end of the row that it got passed to. So I was the one in possession. And then they were just checking to see if I had any more, which I didn't. So they let me go back. But, man, I saw some really good acts there, and I saw some very bad ones. I saw Styx do the whole Domo Arigato, Mr. Roboto thing there.
That's badass.
It was awful.
Oh, no.
It was so bad. And part of it was they came after, who the hell was it that was on before them? It was just fantastic. And it was like, and then they're doing this weird rock opera thing after this really kick-ass show, and I can't remember who came on before him. It might have been Sammy Hagar, and then he brought all these guitarists out that had been at the whole festival, but I don't remember for sure. And then I saw Santana there, and it was also like I was so excited to see Santana, and they did like the same thing with Red Hot Chili Peppers. The guy did a bongo solo for an hour.
Yeah, I don't like that. I don't like when that happens. That's why I won't go watch like Grateful Dead or Fish or any of that stuff. I'm not into that.
So I'm trying to remember. I actually have hidden away somewhere at my grandmother's house. I have a Texas Jam T-shirt that I bought while I was there. That I think it was Van Halen was the headliner.
I think I just threw away my T-shirt. I went to two shows at Red Rocks. It was a Lamont that asked about that, and they were both when I was in high school. One of them was Pearl Jam, and the other one was Pantera and White Zombie. I can't remember who the third band was, but that Pantera White Zombie shirt, I threw that away like maybe a year or two ago, and it was from like 1996 or 1997, something ridiculous like that.
So here's the Texas Jam from 81. The first one I went to was
81.
Yeah, I was a sophomore in high school. REO Speedwagon, Heart.
Nice. Was REO the headliner?
Yeah, they were the headliner at the time.
Badass.
Blue Oyster Cult, who I love to this day. Foghat, The Rockets, and Bryan Adams.
Summer of 69.
And then the one that had Santana was Journey. Santana, Sammy Hagar, Joan Jett, and Point Blank.
Nice.
Okay, yeah.
So what they do? Did they alternate this between
Dallas and Houston?
Okay.
It would be Dallas one day and Houston the next. But, yeah, 83, that was the really awful one because it was Uriah Heep, Ted Nugent, Triumph, Sammy Hagar, and then that's when Styx did this garbage. And right before that, Hagar brings out Ted Nugent and Rick Emmett from Triumph, and they're all jamming to Rock and Roll by Led Zeppelin, and he's got all these great guitarists out there. It just brought the house down, and then Styx comes on.
Styx has some good songs, though, like Renegade's an awesome song.
Show
Me the Way is an awesome song.
I like Come Sail Away, but this they were doing, they did the Kilroy thing, the whole album, and it was a concept album, and it was awful. I mean, I've seen them where they were good.
I used to do, me and my buddies, we used to do karaoke to Renegade when we were in college. Renegade and the Highwaymen. That's a good karaoke song for a group.
Yeah, I remember they quit having it in Houston. I think 84 was the last one. And that was Rush 38 Special, Ozzy, Brian Adams, and Gary Moore. And I remember that one being pretty good. I was pretty stoned for it, though. All right. We are going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Houston Media Critic says, was there a Texas jam with Hagar Van Halen at Rice Stadium? I think that was Monsters of Rock, actually. And if I'm not mistaken, Metallica was at that one. I could be wrong about that. My memory's not what it used to be. And I was really lucky growing up because my dad was, well, I would just say friends with someone who basically booked all the acts for Houston. So I got free tickets to everything. From the time I was about 15 until I was about 20. So every concert that came through Houston that was worth seeing during that stretch, I saw. Actually, it goes back farther than that. I started when I was about 12. And I was really just very fortunate that I was able to go to all those shows. So, and somebody on text line, geez, you really are an old. Yeah, I am. Yeah. And I make no bones about it. And you know what? The one positive to that is I got to do stuff like that. I got to see some bands that, I mean, I saw Queen with Freddie Mercury. Guess how many of you are going to get to do that now? Zero.
Not I.
Yeah, do I wish I'd been born later because the technology now is so incredible that I envy the fact that you guys are all going to live to be 200 and when they start cyborging you and stuff, which is cool. But I'm not going to act old until it's time to die. So, yeah. Somebody asked, do you remember the Texas Jam and the Cotton Bowl? I never went to the one in the Cotton Bowl because the same acts came to Houston or were in Houston the day before. So I never actually went to one up there. Plus, I didn't have the ticket hookup. But to be honest, especially like my first year of college, you know, I've never been the most handsome guy. But when you can get tickets to pretty much anything, you do okay. Like, I remember the Police were here for two shows, and I took a different girl to each show.
Nice. I think I took three different chicks to Titanic.
I remember you telling that story.
Yeah.
Listener Steven wants to know, best concert that you've seen for all three of you?
Man. I don't know. I'll say this. One of the more recent shows that I've went to that was amazing, and a lot of it had to do with where it was and how good my seats were, but watching ZZ Top at the Venetian,
yeah,
and I was like, on the front row.
Yeah.
I mean, that was pretty badass.
Well, and the GNR concert that we got to go
that
to
was
at
cool
T-Mobile
too.
Was pretty yeah. badass. My all-time favorite, yeah, well, I mentioned Queen. That was an amazing show. But there was a show that Judas Priest did at the old Sam Houston Coliseum. And it was just, for some reason, everybody, the entire audience was into everything. It just had that magical vibe to it. That you were seeing them do something. And even they were just looking at the crowd like, what the hell? That something, it was just beyond their usual show. And I've seen them three times since, never close to that. But it was the most amazing, it was a Screaming for Vengeance tour. Most amazing show I've ever seen. And, you know, of course, I didn't know they were singing about guys. But that's all right. You know, whatever works for you. Aaron, you're up. He said all three of us.
I think off the top of my head, I've got to go Foo Fighters. The last time they were here. They always put on an amazing show. If I'm remembering correct, I saw Amberlynn at a really small place called Java Jazz. It's over near Willowbrook area. And it only fit about 250 people. And it was packed. And the entire, I mean, that was a smaller band, smaller time. But big headlining bands like that, Foo Fighters probably.
It's not a bad choice. You know, the one band that I know will consistently put on a good show is Metallica.
Yeah.
I've never seen Metallica put on a bad show.
I went to a Metallica show once, and I saw it was at like a racetrack in Kentucky, and it was Korn, Kid Rock, and Metallica.
Wow.
And then James Hetfield had like a sore throat or something and didn't play. So Kid Rock came out and did some songs.
Jonathan Davis did some songs. I remember that. Yeah, my brother was at that.
In Kentucky?
No, it happened in Dallas. I'm sorry. Oh, okay. The one that happened in Dallas, same thing.
Yeah. And then we got our money back. Yeah. So it was kind of a win-win.
So, well, here's another one that, like, I saw Bon Scott with AC/DC.
Nice.
Which, you know, that's another one. I was probably too young to appreciate that at the time. A lot of those, man, I was just hoping to get stoned. And I did. And that's the difference back then from now, because you can't smoke inside now.
Right.
But boy, you walked into one of those places and you got a contact high immediately when you walked into any of those venues. And everybody, it was so cool. People would just pass it down the aisle, and it was great. I miss those days. So
I used to go to concerts all the time when I was in the Army. That was like our way to get out, and you know, we got to see some cool stuff. Like I got to see I went to Ozfest almost every year.
Yeah.
So you get to see a bunch of good rock bands come through there with that. And then I did Family Values Tour. And that was like, it was, I think Korn was the band that put it on, but I saw Limp Bizkit there a couple times. I saw Method Man and Redman there. I saw Ice Cube there. I saw Linkin Park there, Stone Temple Pilots. It was cool. Some good bands on, like, that's why I like those festivals. You can knock out a lot of cool bands at once.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't get the full sets. That's the one negative.
Yeah.
So if you're really a fan of a band, it's not the best thing, but it's like, if you want to see five or six great bands, then it works really well. And, you know, I still like going to the Warehouse. I still like going to House of Blues. I haven't been to Revention since it became Revention, but that's a venue I really like. But yeah, but growing up, there was basically the Sam Houston Coliseum, and then they opened the Summit. So there were a bunch of shows there. And there was another little place called the Music Hall. And that was it. That's all we had. I saw Ronnie James Dio there. And Black Sabbath with Ronnie James Dio.
Nice.
So, yes, yeah, so that was a Metallica tour when Hetfield broke his arm that I was thinking of, and he went to the show in Dallas. Yeah. So. Light sports today, huh? Well, you know what? We've been doing sports all week.
Yeah, it really is a light sports day, though.
It is. I mean, we've hammered the hell out of the fights. I would like to get your betting picks for the people.
Okay.
And you know what? I think we've covered everything that's going on in the sports world. So, you know, do we have late hits? Yeah, Jason Braddock will be here tonight. He'll break down all kinds of sports.
He'll sports it up harder for you.
Yeah, yeah. So, and JD brings up something. He saw Willie Nelson, Merle Haggard, and Ray Price with Asleep at the Wheel at Austin. And he had front row center, 10 feet from the main mic. The one thing that I also did as a kid, because my dad was one, or my grandfather was one of those, was real involved with the rodeo. So we went to pretty much every rodeo performance every year.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to see some amazing people there, including, I was a little kid and I don't remember much about it, except it was a fat guy in a white suit. But my mom telling me one day you'll thank me for taking you to see Elvis Presley.
Oh, nice.
And I don't remember anything about it other than that's the only memory, is I remember her telling me that, and a fat guy on stage in a white suit. But so, yeah, as a kid, I got to see Elvis Presley.
All right, guys, I got to tell you about Pajamagram. Guys, there's a brand new technology and your lady is going to love it. Your wife, your girlfriend, whoever it is, side action, whoever. It is microvelvet, which was created by the PJ scientists at Pajamagram, and it's found only in their Tempting Touch PJs. These are simply the softest, most luxurious pajamas in the history of the whole wide world. They are begging to be touched soft. Go to pajamagram.com. Get her the blissful comfort that you know she deserves. Treat her right for once in your pathetic life. Guys, this is a higher level of soft. They're relaxing to wear, irresistible to touch. And of course, when she's happy, You'll be happy. How about that? Guys, Valentine's gifts have never been this tempting, and they make it easy on you. You don't have to gift wrap. Every Pajamagram includes free gift packaging, delivery by Valentine's Day, guaranteed. Can't mess it up. Visit Pajamagram.com today. That's Pajamagram.com. Tell them AJ Hoffman sent you. Visions of you, visions of visions of
to the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. Is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
How can you not love her voice? I mean, that is, her voice is badass, man. I remember one of the first times I saw Shinedown, they were the opening act, and they were nothing yet to the point where they were having to sit out front and sign stuff. Yeah, you know, like during the other acts, they'd be out there signing shirts and things for people, and man, look at them now, big stars.
Yeah, I don't know if I have it anymore, but I had a demo tape from Linkin Park that they were handing out. It had One Step Closer on it, and they ended up blowing up like maybe 2 or 3 months later.
Yeah.
But they opened up for a band called the Cottonmouth Kings, which was like a pot band from California, and Linkin Park opened for them. And then I got a demo tape from a band called, you remember the band Crazy Town?
Sounds familiar, yeah.
The thing, that butterfly song?
Yeah.
But their demo tape said Who the F is Crazy Town on it. And that's how they were getting people to listen, but they were handing them out outside the show. It's crazy, like some of these bands, they end up blowing up.
But. Yeah, it's just one last thing on this is Lamont seen if I ever asked if I'd ever seen SRV. Yeah, I saw him not that long before his crash. And then there was one other place in Houston that, if you're old, you'll remember, it was called Cardi's. And it was a great rock club. And it was over, I can't remember where it was. I think it was out West Time or somewhere. I don't know, because I didn't hang out this part of town that much. We just would go to Cardi's. And I saw Rat there. I saw Zebra, which is a really cool band from New Orleans. And when we got there, we'd always get there early because it's a long-ass drive from Lamarck. And a lot of times we'd sit there at the bar and drink with the band before the show. It was really cool. And that place is gone now. But, yeah, and then the one other guy I wanted to mention that I think if you've never seen him live, Eric Johnson is magical. I mean, he is. If you like guitar work, he is just absolutely magical. And I haven't seen him in a few years, but I've seen him a bunch of times too. And every time, it's incredible. I was noticing the weigh-ins. Derek looks good.
He does look really good. Look really slim.
And so, he looks a lot bigger than that other guy.
Yeah, it was under 265. So yeah, good for him.
So speaking of which, do you have any betting plays that you particularly like for the people?
So I think if you can, some of these are, they'll depend on what props are available, because I'm kind of, the more I look at this card, I'm probably not going to have like a whole bunch of action on it because I like mostly favorites. But if you have props, then I think there's some props that could be of interest if you can get like to finish or something like that. I think Alex. I think he'll win. He'll finish the fight.
So you can bet him. Can you bet him by knockout
inside the distance plus 135?
Okay.
Otherwise, you're paying like minus three something, minus 330 on him.
I like that bet.
So I think if you want him to finish, though, you can get some decent value there. Bob convinced me on Lauren Murphy. I'll probably bet a little on Lauren Murphy, too, who she's at currently plus 275.
Yeah, I got her at plus 265 when she was in studio.
So that's I think there's
she sold me just listening to her. So yeah, I'm like, okay, I'll put 50 on her. I got it 265.
And I'm gonna have a couple bets on this Austin Lingo. The under 1.5 rounds is plus 138.
Okay,
so I like that. Lingo wins by TKO or KO is plus 235. So I think, and if you want to play it safe, Lingo wins inside the distance is plus 150, takes the submission aspect out of it. But this dude, I mean, he is going in and finishing guys basically immediately. So I think that he's going to do the same thing here. They've got him in there with a guy who hasn't seen anything like this. His last three fights, well, he's had 7 fights in his career. 2 of them have made it out of the first round. The other 5 lasted 25 seconds, 25 seconds, 13 seconds, 35 seconds, and 2 minutes and 26 seconds.
Wow.
This dude is a quick, quick finisher, and that's one of the guys that Alex was talking about. He's training with up there, and he says he's the real deal. So I'll probably be on him to get something done early.
Okay. What about what are the numbers on Juan?
Juan's a pretty heavy favorite. Juan is minus 230. So he's a guy who, just based on what he said, like if he feels like he's in danger, he can always fall back on his wrestling because this dude apparently has legit power in his hands. So I don't want to bet a prop on Juan because Juan may be willing to grind it out for 15 minutes. And he's too big of a favorite to bet straight up.
I'm a little surprised to see that.
But like the fact that Juan was like, I think Juan learned his lesson from that last fight.
Yeah.
He's going to be a lot more careful. He's not going to take any crazy chances that he doesn't need to. One thing that's happened is apparently Antonio Arroyo had to pull out of the fight with Trevin Giles today, and James Krause apparently was ready to go, stepped in. So they've got a whole new opponent for him, like basically day before.
Wow,
which is pretty wild. But Giles was a minus 150 favorite. It may even be closer, or he may be an underdog now. So that's something to look at. And then Mirsad Bektic, who came in here, he's minus 120. As a favorite.
Okay.
And John, minus 440. I mean,
yeah.
Again, you're not going to find value on a guy like him.
I don't know. Dana seemed convinced that there's a chance.
Plus 390 if you like the other way. The biggest favorite on the card, though, is Valentina Shevchenko, minus 855. Plus 670 if you think she goes down.
Well, I was reading an interview with her opponent today who says she's going to beat her and then she's going to go up in class and win another belt.
Okay.
If you believe her.
That's confidence.
If you believe her, you might want to. Yeah, she's going to go fight Amanda Nunes. So
she's plus 850 on my bookie.
Oh, well, there you go.
There are. It is funny when. I mean, there have been times when big numbers like that come through, but it's pretty rare. But like when Ronda Rousey lost, that was a big number. You know, if you think that. This is her moment.
One of the biggest upsets of all time happened right here in the Toyota Center.
It did. It did.
I didn't see it coming, but it happens.
Yeah. Good old GSP.
Yep.
But, I think that was the first fight I got to see in person.
Was it?
Yeah. Was when the first time they were here. And it's funny, when we were talking to Dana yesterday, I kind of want to give Lance Zierlein a little bit of credit because what got me interested in UFC way back in the day was Lance used to talk about it all the time on 610, and he'd have Dana on and he had Boss Rutten on and guys, he was a regular on his show. And so that got me interested and I started watching, and you know, so it was kind of funny because Lance came in after and was fanboying it up about, yeah, I remember the good old days, but he really was the reason that I've always said Lance and John were always my big influences and the reason I went in radio. But that was, I got interested because he was way ahead of the curve on it, man. He was having people on, you know, UFC 18 and stuff. I don't know that they liked it over at 610, but I sure enjoyed it.
They kept him around.
Yeah, they did. For a while. Yeah. All right. 713-780 ESPN is the number. 713-780-3776. got a gem of the day coming up that hopefully you will like. And then 6 o'clock hour, we'll have RJ and friends on.
All right.
Wonder if they've got any XFL bits.
I do want to have a conversation with them about it, though. I'm curious, like, yeah, how much action it's getting.
I have to think the limits are way lower than what they would be on an NFL
certainly.
Game. So, but we shall find out. That'll be a good thing to ask.
Yep.
All right. A lot of people liking the music talk, believe it or not. All right. We are going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is UFC President Dana White, and you're listening to The Blitz with Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman only on ESPN 97.5.
That guy's kind of a badass.
Yeah, very cool.
Appreciate him doing that. You could tell Dana was having fun yesterday. I thought we were having more fun, but no, he was having as much fun as we were. So, all right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day.
All right, we go to Nebraska. Where,
the land of corn.
Well, the land of corn and porn? No.
Pornhub?
23-year-old Wyatt Walker decided he was going to order a lady of the evening.
Okay. Got to do what you got to do.
He did. The 20-year-old Emma Furman. Then he wrote her a check. Which, okay. I don't know about you. I'm probably not writing a check for pay-per-views for a lot of reasons. But he wrote her a check, and guess what? The check bounced. So, what generally happens if you fail to pay a prostitute?
The pimp comes and beats your ass.
Yes. So, apparently, a man called Hans V. Berg had come to collect. So, what does young Wyatt do? Calls the police. Of course, yes, Emma gets arrested for prostitution. Hans gets arrested for threatening to kill Walker. And Walker gets arrested for solicitation.
Not wise, guys.
But if you never pay, is it really prostitution?
He
tried to solicit a prostitute. So, so basically, if you're not going to pay your prostitute, and you decide you're going to call the cops, well, there's a good chance you're going to get arrested yourself. So apparently they tried to cash the check for several days, and it kept bouncing because of insufficient funds. apparently the Furman asked her pimp and another guy to go and get the money. And he allegedly threatened to kill him unless he paid up twice the original amount. Here's a thing if you're a pimp or collecting. Trying to get twice the amount of a guy who can't get a check through for the original amount, I don't like your chances.
No.
So, he was also judged for theft by extortion, so he's up against it. But yeah, I mean, if poor Emma had just let this go, all three of them wouldn't be in jail.
Yeah.
Going to cost him a lot more than her getting hosed by a guy writing a check. And by the way, Emma, just a little PSA.
They went to completion, though?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they did the deed.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
No, man. He's a scumbag for...
Who's taking checks, even?
Well, and that's the thing. Why are you taking a check, Emma? So, yeah, Lori Dave says, solicitation is complete when you ask for sex and are willing to pay. So that makes
well, yeah. Consider me guilty.
Yeah, well, and still the wife turns me down. But yeah, it's that's your Zadok Jewelers gym of the day.
The gym of the day. It's the gym of the day. The Zadok Jeweler gym of the day.
So apparently there's some story out about Jeff Luno and how much he knew, and he was actually organizing the stuff. It's behind a paywall, so I don't have it yet and can't.
I think Bleacher Report also has it.
Oh, do they? Well, if you find a link, send it to me and I'll look at it on the break. But, so I'm not going to comment on that until I see. But somebody asked earlier that Dak was asking for $33 million. How do you feel about that? I kind of
feel horrible.
I wouldn't want to pay it, but I kind of feel like that's the price. I don't think that's out of line. I mean, I would not want to pay him that much money.
I definitely wouldn't.
But, I mean, what's your alternative? And to me, he's a $25 to $28 million quarterback.
I think that's probably fair.
But it's his turn.
And he has been making nothing.
Right. Well, and that's the thing about him, about Deshaun, about Mahomes. I mean, Deshaun and Mahomes made better money as first-round picks.
But, way better.
But it's still, I mean, you know, $4 million is not all that much for top-10 quarterback play.
Right.
So
yeah, Dak's total contract was $2.7 million.
That's more than I thought, actually.
Well, yeah, he averaged per year. He was averaging $680,000 so far in his NFL career. That's less than Garrett Gilbert, Paxton Lynch, Easton Stick. And Davis Webb.
Wow. Clarification. Report is he was offered $33 million and turned it down because he wanted more.
Oh, well. Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't feel bad for you, bro. You should have signed that so damn fast.
I feel like that's a fair number. And
that's a beyond fair number.
You know, I've been saying all along, I think he gets 33. I think Deshaun gets 35. I think Mahomes gets 40. I think Mahomes is the first $40 million a year guy. And the good news is, if you're those teams, well, I think Dak's actually up this year, so they can't do it with him. But with Watson and Mahomes, they can just give him an extension and pay him a little more next year, but they don't have to pay him the whole $40 million next year. So, you know, Dak's a little different. Whatever he signs, that's what he's going to get. So I if that's what he turned down, I would be willing to bet money this is going to the franchise tag.
Probably so.
512 asking for the hockey plays you missed. Yeah, I can't remember. I think it was like 4:30 I did that. So there's one play on Saturday.
Boy, the list of guys who are making more money than Dak Prescott is really sad. Some of these guys I've never even heard of.
Well, probably. Yeah, Davis Webb, come on. How many NFL passes has he thrown?
I don't know. Not many, if any. How about Kyle Sloter? How about Joshua Dobbs? All making more money than Dak. David Fales, more money than Dak. Man, yeah, there's some...
But, you know, he's going to get paid now.
So. Yeah.
But I also think that just because you were that underpaid, that doesn't mean you need to be saying, overpaid. $33 million is not going to be enough. Okay. If I'm Dallas, I guarantee you, I see who's out there in free agency before I commit to a long-term deal, and maybe I franchise him and trade him. If somebody like bring in Phillip Rivers, or if Tom Brady of all people, I don't care who it is. There's going to be quarterbacks out there that are available. Cam Newton? You bring in Cam Newton?
I don't know.
I mean, if I can get somebody like that on a short-term deal and I'm not having to pay that much with the team around them, I think long and hard about it, and I'd say, thanks, Dak. If you're not going to take 33, good luck.
What if I told you that Matt Schaub made almost three times the money this last season as Dak Prescott.
It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, he's one of the higher paid backups.
What if I told you AJ McCarron made four times the money that Dak Prescott made?
Doesn't really surprise me either. Those guys. Well, but those guys, it was their time to get paid as backups.
I guess so.
And it hasn't been Dak's yet. So, and before and I said, I wonder if it's more about the guaranteed money. Yeah, without knowing all the details, I mean, that may be part of it, but, and it's hard to know who's telling the truth from these things because who's leaking that? Probably the team. Probably the team's leaking that to make it look like, well, we offered him $33 million a year. But yeah, you're right. There's so much nuance to it in terms of guaranteed money and length and when you can get out of the contract. But, you know, that's one where if I'm Dallas, and I don't know if Cowboy fan wants to hear this, but I'm protecting myself. And I'm looking at all options without committing to a long-term deal. So,
do you think any of the current crop of young quarterbacks will pull a Tom Brady and play for technically a discount like Mahomes? Because Tannenbaum said yesterday, if Mahomes really thinks he's going to win several Super Bowls in Kansas City, he needs to be open to taking a more team-friendly deal.
Have you seen what a weirdo his girlfriend is? There's no way in hell that guy's taking less money. No way in hell. Now, I don't think Mahomes does it. Watson's not going to do it. Mahomes would be more... I bet he gets his contract this time. The next contract, he might do that, especially if they go a drought without another Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But I think he wants to get paid, and he should.
He's also... Dude, there's some guys who are good enough that while the team around you isn't... It's definitely hard to maintain a team around you. And I think Russell Wilson's a good example.
Yeah.
But the Seahawks are still competitive every year.
Yeah.
Like, it wouldn't shock me if one year the Seahawks won the Super Bowl with Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
It wouldn't shock me if Aaron Rodgers won the Super Bowl with, a bunch of bummy Packers around him.
It might surprise me now. I'm not quite sure he's what he was, but it wouldn't shock me, I guess. I would be a little surprised if the Packers won.
Okay, here's the list of guys making over $30 million.
Okay, and I'll tell you.
Tell me if it would shock you if their team won a Super Bowl. Let's just say next year.
I feel shocked.
Russell Wilson.
Wouldn't shock me.
Ben Roethlisberger.
Wouldn't shock me. I think the Steelers could be a real threat next year if he's healthy. I mean, that team almost made the playoffs with homeless dudes at quarterback.
Aaron Rodgers.
Wouldn't shock me, but I'd be a little surprised. That's the first one on the list where I'm like, I don't see it, but okay.
Jared Goff.
Wouldn't surprise me, no.
I mean, they were there a year ago.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that they have the talent around him that they had it 2 years ago, but that's okay.
Carson Wentz.
No, wouldn't surprise me.
Matt Ryan.
Boy, after last year, it's kind of... But you know what? They played really well the second half of the season.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm going to go with no, wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, you know who the next guy on the list is? Kirk Cousins. I mean, Vikings were pretty damn good this year.
Yeah, they were. I don't know if...
Here's the first guy on the list where I'm like, there's zero chance. Jacoby Brissett.
Oh, yeah.
He's making $28 million a year.
Really?
Yeah.
Nope. No, thank you.
But he'll be an unrestricted free agent after this next year.
Yeah.
So they don't have to pay.
And I'm betting they can get out from under that.
Yeah, they're not married to him long term. Garoppolo's 27.5. Mm-hmm. They were right there.
Yeah.
Then you get to Matt Stafford, Derek Carr. Drew Brees.
Yeah, Brees.
25.
Man, it looks like the Raiders are going to ship Carr off.
Yeah.
Which, okay.
Some team's going to upgrade from that because Derek Carr is a pretty solid player, I think.
You know what sucks is...
Put him in a good situation. What if the Colts found Derek Carr?
That'd be better.
Way better.
Yeah, what's funny is, you know who's going to get screwed in this whole thing if they just waited a year? Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Because they can't maneuver to get a quarterback now. And
they've hitched their wagon.
This is going to be a year where there's going to be several good options. So, all right, quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
That's the only thing I want for Christmas.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5, Houston. Hello.